Bertha von Suttner. Baroness Bertha Sophie Felicitas von Suttner was an Austro-Bohemian noblewoman and novelist. She was also known as Countess Kinsky von Wackenitz und Tettau. She was a pacifist, a person who opposed war. In 1905, she became the second female Nobel laureate, after Marie Curie won a Nobel Prize in 1903. She was the first woman to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. She was the first person from both Austria and the Czech lands to receive a Nobel Prize. Early life. Bertha Kinsky was born on 9th of June 1843 at Kinsky Palace in the Obecny Dvor district of Prague. Her father was the Austrian Lieutenant General Franz Michael de Paula Josef Graf Kinsky von Wackenitz und Tettau, who died in 1843 at the age of 75. Her mother was Sophie Wilhelmina von Körner, born in 1815 and more than 45 years younger than her husband. Her father belonged to the ancient and illustrious House of Kinsky, traced back to Count Wilhelm Kinsky, who lived from 1574 to 1634. He was the younger son of Count Franz Ferdinand Kinsky von Wackenitz und Tettau, born 1738, died 1806, and Princess Maria Christina Anna von und zu Liechtenstein, born 1741, died 1819, who was the youngest but one daughter of Prince Emmanuel of Liechtenstein. Her mother came from untitled nobility of lower status. Sophie was the daughter of Joseph von Körner, a cavalry captain in the Habsburg Imperial Army. Through her mother, Bertha was related to the poet Theodor Körner and to Theodor Körner, Edler von Siegringen, a namesake and great nephew of the poet. Edler is a lesser noble title. That relative later served as the fourth president of Austria. Bertha faced exclusion from the Austrian high nobility because of her mixed descent. Only those with an unbroken aristocratic pedigree back to their great-great-grandparents could be presented at the imperial court. She was also disadvantaged because her father, as a third son, had no large estates or other financial resources to bequeath. Bertha was baptized at Prague's Church of Our Lady of the Snows, which was not a traditional choice for the aristocracy. Soon after her birth, her mother moved to Brno to live near her guardian landgrave, Friedrich Meikle zu Fürstenberg-Teikowitz, a landgrave being a high-ranking noble. Bertha's older brother, Count Arthur Franz Kinsky von Wackenitz und Tettau, was sent to military school at the age of 6 and later had little contact with the family. In 1855, her maternal aunt Charlotte Büschel, née von Körner, and the aunt's daughter Elvira joined the household. Elvira's father had been a private scholar, and after his death she had an official guardian. Elvira was of a similar age to Bertha and introduced her cousin to literature and philosophy. As an adolescent, Bertha studied under a succession of private tutors and learned French, Italian, and English. She also became an accomplished amateur pianist and singer. In the summer of 1856, her mother and aunt, who regarded themselves as clairvoyant, went to gamble at Wiesbaden in the hope of winning a fortune. Their losses were heavy and forced the family to move to Vienna. During that trip, Bertha received a marriage proposal from Prince Philipp zu Sayn-Wittgenstein-Berleburg, which she declined because she was still very young. The family returned to Wiesbaden in 1859, but the trip was again unsuccessful, and they had to relocate to a small property in Klosterneuburg. Shortly afterwards, Bertha published her first work, the novella Erdenträume im Monde, in the periodical Die Deutsche Frau. Continuing financial strain led to a brief engagement to the wealthy Gustav, Baron Heine von Geldern, who was 31 years her senior and a member of the Heine banking family. She found him unattractive and finally rejected him, later recording her disgust when he tried to kiss her. In 1864, the family spent the summer at Bad Homburg. There, she befriended the Georgian aristocrat Ekaterine Dadiani, Princess of Mingrelia, and met Tsar Alexander II, to whom she was very distantly related. Seeking an alternative to marrying for money, Bertha trained to be an opera singer and practiced her voice for more than 4 hours a day. She studied with Gilbert Dupré in Paris in 1867 and with Pauline Viardot in Baden-Baden in 1868, but she never secured a professional engagement. She suffered from stage fright and had difficulty projecting her voice in performance. In the summer of 1872, she became engaged to Prince Adolf zu sein Wittgenstein Hohenstein. He died at sea in October 1872 while traveling to America to escape his debts. Tutor in the Suttner household, life in Georgia. In 1866, both Landgrave Furstenberg, who had been Bertha's guardian, and Elvira died. Bertha was 23 and older than the usual marriage age. She felt increasingly constrained by her mother's eccentricity and by the family's poor finances. In 1873, she became a tutor in the household of Karl Gundakar Freiherr von Suttner, born in 1819, and his wife Carola Knolz, born in 1822 and 7 years younger than Bertha. Freiherr is a German title equivalent to Baron. The family had 7 children, 4 daughters, then aged about 15 to 20. They lived in the Innere Stadt, the central district of Vienna, for much of the year and spent summers in Lower Austria, then part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Bertha became companion to the 4 girls. She formed an affectionate bond with them. The girls gave her the nickname Bulot, meaning fatty because of her size. She later adopted that name as the literary pseudonym B. Ulot. She soon fell in love with the youngest son, Arthur von Suttner, who was 7 years younger than her. They became engaged, but his parents disapproved and marriage was blocked. In 1876, encouraged by her employers, she answered a newspaper advertisement and briefly became secretary and housekeeper to Alfred Nobel in Paris. She and Nobel developed a friendship, and Nobel may have made romantic advances. She remained committed to Arthur and returned to Vienna to marry him in secret at the Church of St. Agid in Gumpendorf. As a result, Arthur von Suttner was disinherited and lost the title of Freiherr. The newlyweds eloped to Mingrelia, a region in western Georgia near the Black Sea, which was then part of the Russian Empire. Bertha hoped to use a connection to the former ruling house of Dadiani to gain support. They were entertained on arrival by Prince Niko. The couple settled in Kutaisi and taught languages and music to children of the local aristocracy. They lived in a simple 3-room wooden house and endured considerable hardship despite their social contact. Their situation worsened with the outbreak of the Russo-Turkish War in 1877. Arthur worked as a reporter on the conflict for the Neue Freie Presse, an Austrian newspaper. Bertha wrote frequently for the Austrian press and worked on early novels, including Es Lovos, a romanticized account of her life with Arthur. After the war, Arthur tried to set up a timber business, but the venture failed. Arthur and Bertha von Suttner. Arthur and Bertha von Suttner were largely socially isolated in Georgia. Their poverty limited their participation in high society. Neither became fluent in Mingrelian, the regional language, or in Georgian. To support themselves, both turned to writing as a career. Arthur's work in this period focused on local themes. Suttner's writing did not take on Georgian culture in the same way. In August 1882, Ekaterine Dadiani died. Soon after, the couple left Mingrelia and moved to Tbilisi. Arthur took any work he could find in accounting, construction, and wallpaper design. Suttner concentrated on her writing. She became a correspondent of the German writer and philosopher Michael Georg Conrad and contributed an article to the 1885 edition of his publication, Die Gesellschaft. The piece, called Truth and Lies, argued for naturalism, a literary movement that stresses realistic depiction of social conditions and everyday life, as exemplified by Emile Zola. Her first important political book, Inventarium einer Seele, translated as Inventory of the Soul, was published in Leipzig in 1883. In it, she argued for disarmament and took a progressive stance. She argued that technological advances made world peace inevitable, a possibility also noted by her friend Nobel because increasingly powerful weapons served as a stronger deterrent. In 1884, Suttner's mother died and the couple faced further debts. Juan Arthur had befriended a Georgian journalist known only as M. They agreed to collaborate on a translation of the Georgian epic The Knight in the Panther's Skin, an extended heroic poem. Suttner was to refine M's literal Georgian to French rendering, and Arthur would translate the French into German. The method was arduous, and they managed only a few hours of work each day. Arthur published several articles on the project in the Georgian press, and Mihaly Zichy prepared illustrations for the planned publication. M did not make the expected payment. After the Bulgarian crisis began in 1885, the couple felt increasingly unsafe in Georgian society, which had grown more hostile to Austrians under Russian influence. They reconciled with Arthur's family and in May 1885 returned to Austria. They lived at Harmansdorf Castle in Lower Austria. Bertha found refuge in her marriage to Arthur. She described their married happiness as the central and inalienable part of her life and her shelter against all conditions. Her diary mixed political notes with records of their private pleasures, small jokes, confidential walks, shared readings, hours of music, and evening games of chess. For them, nothing could happen that would break their bond. They had each other, and that was everything. Peace activism. After returning to Austria, she continued her journalism. She focused on issues of peace and war. She corresponded with the French philosopher Ernest Renan. She was influenced by the International Arbitration and Peace Association, an organization that promoted settling disputes by neutral third parties, which Hodgson Pratt founded in 1880. In 1889, she published the pacifist novel Die Waffen Nieder, translated as Lay Down Your Arms. The book made her a leading figure in the Austrian peace movement. It ran to 37 editions and was translated into 15 languages. She witnessed the foundation of the Inter-Parliamentary Union, an organization that promoted cooperation between legislators of different countries. In an 1891 editorial in the Neue Freie Presse, she urged the creation of the Austrian Gesellschaft der Friedensfreunde, an Austrian pacifist organization. She became its chairwoman and the next year founded the German Peace Society. From 1892 to 1899, she edited the international pacifist journal Die Waffen Nieder, named after her book. In 1897, she presented Emperor Franz Joseph I with a petition urging the creation of an international court of justice, a proposed tribunal to settle disputes between states. She attended the first Hague Convention in 1899, an international gathering aimed at limiting the horrors of war. Theodor Herzl paid for her trip while she served as a correspondent for the Zionist newspaper Die Welt. When her husband died in 1902, she sold Harmansdorf Castle and moved to Vienna. In 1904, she spoke at the International Congress of Women in Berlin. She then spent 7 months touring the United States, attending a Universal Peace Congress in Boston and meeting President Theodore Roosevelt. She corresponded with Alfred Nobel until his death in 1896 and is widely credited as a major influence on his decision to include a Peace Prize in his will. She was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize on 10 December 1905. The award was presented on 18 April 1906 in Christiania, now Oslo. In 1907, she was the only woman at the Second Hague Peace Conference, which largely addressed the laws of war. She criticized that conference and warned that Europe could become a showpiece of ruins if leaders only modified the conduct of war while keeping the system that accepted war in place. She argued that the conference should focus on building secure peace and the rule of law rather than on technical rules such as naval bombardment and the laying of mines. Around this time, she met Anna Bernardine Eckstein, a German peace campaigner who helped shape the Second Hague Agenda. A year later, she attended the International Peace Congress in London and met Caroline Plain, an English anti-war activist who later wrote Suttner's first biography. In the run-up to World War I, she campaigned against international armament. In 1911, she joined the advisory council of the Carnegie Peace Foundation. In the last months of her life, she suffered from cancer and worked to organize a planned peace conference for September 1914. The conference never took place. She died of cancer on 21st June 1914. 7 days later, the heir to her nation's throne, Franz Ferdinand, was assassinated, an event that helped trigger World War I. Her pacifism drew on the writings of Immanuel Kant, Henry Thomas Buckle, Herbert Spencer, Charles Darwin, and Leo Tolstoy. Tolstoy praised Die Waffen Nieder. She conceived of peace as a natural state and saw war and militarism as human aberrations. She argued that a right to peace could be claimed under international law, meaning the rules that govern relations between nations, and she grounded this claim in an evolutionary Darwinist view of history that applied ideas of biological evolution to social development. She remained a respected journalist, and a historian described her as a most perceptive and adept political commentator. Writing. She used her aristocratic connections and friendships with wealthy people such as Alfred Nobel to reach international heads of state and to raise the profile of her writing. Early in her career, she used a male pseudonym, a male pen name, to increase the financial success of her work. She often worked as a journalist to publicize her message and to promote her books, events, and causes. Tolstoy noted, and others have since agreed, that Suttner and Harriet Beecher Stowe showed a strong similarity. They were neither simply writers of popular entertainment nor authors of biased propaganda that pushed a particular cause. They used entertainment to advance their ideals. For Suttner, the central theme and greatest ideal was peace and acceptance of all individuals and all peoples. She also wrote about other issues. Two frequent themes in her work, apart from pacifism, were religion and gender equality. Religion. Two religious themes recur in Suttner's work. First, she disliked the theatrical pomp of some religious rituals. In Lay Down Your Arms, she depicts an emperor and empress washing ordinary citizens' feet to appear as humble as Jesus, while staging the act for an audience and making a dramatic entrance. The protagonist, Martha, calls the ceremony a sham. Second, she attacked the claim that war is God's will and the use of religion as a pretext for war. She argued this view set the state above the individual in God's eyes and made dying in battle seem more glorious than other deaths or than surviving war. This mindset also encourages segregation and conflict along religious lines, which Bertha and Arthur von Suttner rejected. Arthur, a devout Christian, founded the League Against Anti-Semitism in response to the pogroms in Eastern Europe, which were violent attacks on Jewish communities, and to growing anti-Semitism across Europe, which is prejudice against Jewish people. The Suttner family urged acceptance of all people and all faiths. In her memoirs, Suttner wrote that religion should mean neighborly love rather than neighborly hatred, and that any hatred toward other nations or creeds weakened what it means to be humane. Gender equality. Suttner is often considered a leader in the women's liberation movement. She broke through sex barriers with her work as a writer and activist. She spoke out in a society that expected women to be seen and not heard. She did not actively join the campaigns for women's suffrage, the right to vote, saying she lacked the time. She focused on bringing women into the international peace movement and kept close ties to the suffrage activists. She was a prominent participant in the 1904 International Women's Conference in Berlin. She believed avoiding conflict required men and women to work for peace together. She argued that making humanity more noble, meaning improving people morally and spiritually, required full equality and fair cooperation between the sexes. In Lay Down Your Arms, the protagonist Martha often clashes with her father over these issues. Martha refuses to let her son play with toy soldiers or adopt masculine ideas of war. Her father tries to push her back into a narrow female role. He says the boy will not need a woman's approval and urges Martha to marry again so she will not be alone. Suttner did more than insist that women were equal to men. She showed how sexism harms both women and men. Martha is constrained by female gender expectations. Tilling is constrained by male stereotypes and is harmed by them. He argues that men must repress their instinct for self-preservation. Soldiers must shut down compassion and sympathy for the suffering of both friend and foe. In his view, sentimentality is treated as disgraceful next to cowardice. Legacy. Suttner's work proved very influential for people in the peace movement. She was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1905. she has been commemorated on coins, banknotes, and stamps. A 2008 Europe Taylor Collector's coin featured her as a main motif alongside Martin Luther, Antonio Vivaldi, and James Watt. Germany issued a commemorative silver 10-euro coin for the centennial of her Nobel Prize. She appears on the Austrian 2-euro coin and on the old Austrian 1,000-shilling banknote. She was honored on an Austrian postage stamp in 1965, a German postage stamp in 2005, and a Czech postage stamp in 2013. Google celebrated her with a Google Doodle on 10th of December 2019. There are statues in Vienna and in Graz. In 2025, the European Central Bank announced two themes for a future redesign of euro banknotes. The themes are European culture and rivers and birds. The bank also announced that Von Suttner had been selected to appear on the obverse, the front side of 200 euro banknotes, if the European culture theme is chosen.